thank you for coming to the house of the Lord today. Amen. Why don't you say this with me? It should be up there in a moment. Yeah, say it with me, all right? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I can go into the house of the Lord, because I know that when I get here, there's going to be this worship service that's going to take my mind off of all the things and all the stuff that's coming against my life. Amen. And I can finally focus on Jesus like I should be all week, right?
Amen.
Am I the only one?
No.
Well, come on. How many of you know that if you would focus on Jesus all the time, say all the time, your life would be different?
Amen.
If you could respond biblically to every problem you ever face, your life would be different. How many of you would like your life to be different this morning? Amen. Amen. I'm up here and I'm walking back and forth because I'm thinking about what's happened already this morning, and I'm kind of feeling like maybe I'll go a different direction than what I have. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, I think it's 61:3, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay? So that means when you're feeling down, how many of you know what it's like to feel down? And how many are maybe feeling a little down today? Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you're just going through a hard time with your spouse. Maybe your kids aren't doing the things that you wish they were doing. Maybe you're having trouble financially, and you just can't get happy. You know, you just can't be joyous. But the Bible gives us an actual formula to get happy, okay, to get full of joy. And I should say joy, because joy is something that is enduring. Happiness only happens, okay? Happiness is something that you feel because of a happening. Joy is something that you feel because you know Jesus. But you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So when you're feeling down, when you're feeling bad, when you're feeling like the whole world is coming against you, you need to understand that what we do here on a Sunday morning is only practice. Come on. It's only practice for what you should be doing all week long. Well, Wes, I can't very well sing. Well, you know, I'll tell you a story, and I've told you this before. We were building a house in Twin Lake one time, and I thought I was all alone, okay? And I was up in my bedroom, or what was going to be the bedroom, and I had this big boom box, because that's all we ever had back then. And I was playing, I can't remember what song, but I was getting it, okay? I was worshiping, I was praising. All right, you ready? I was dancing. I'm going, you know, yeah, praise you, Lord. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the bedroom door. And this little furnace guy that I had working for us at the time peeked his head in and went, I think I need your help for a minute. And I only tell you that, I tell you that because there is ways that you can worship in your house. And there's ways that you can worship outside a Sunday morning. Amen? And the idea that you would worship is only right. I mean, we worship here when we sing a few songs. Then we worship here actually when we come forward and lay hands on people. That's a form of worship, because we're saying, God, we believe what you say, that when we lay hands on people, things happen. Amen. But when you worship, it just has a way of taking your mind. I love that old song, you know, that says, and I'm really going to probably... I shouldn't, somebody told me not to say this anymore. Date myself. What did they tell me to say? Because I'm so old, I forgot, okay? But there was a song we used to sing that the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, that when you get in that presence, all of the things that are bothering you, all of the things that are so heavy upon you, they just kind of leave. You know, people have this funny saying, they say, hey, why are you worried? 100 years from now, it won't matter anyway. Actually, it's only a few years from now, it won't matter anyway. But the truth is, It won't matter anyway. And if you set your heart to worship, more things can happen in and through your life than what you could ever happen in and through your life by worrying. Worship is the counterattack to worry. Come on. How many of you know what it's like to worry about something just incessantly? And how many are going to tell the truth this morning? You have worried in your life. Okay? Worship is a counterattack for worry. And the purpose for worship is just simply this: to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. You don't worship because you're going to look good to people, you know, in the church. You don't worship because, you know, you sound good. I hope that isn't the reason. The reason why you worship is to get into the presence of the Lord. And what does it say about the presence of the Lord? What is in the presence of the Lord? Come on, what's in the presence of the Lord? In His presence is all those things. But joy, all right, joy forevermore. Healing, all right, what you need, whatever it is you stand in need of, is in the presence of the Lord. If you can't get peace, you know where the presence of the Lord, you know what's in the presence of the Lord, excuse me? Peace. If you can't seem to get joy, do you want to know where it is? It's in the presence of the Lord. And you have been given the privilege of worship to access that joy. I think of it, and I guess what I see today is God is trying to tell us and trying to say to us, even when we came forward, you know, that whatever you've got going on in your life, if it's sickness, if it's, you know, disease, if it's depression, I've got the answer for that. I've got the answer for that. Doctors have a temporary answer for that. I have the permanent answer for that. And that's the way it is with the Lord. The Lord has complete and permanent answers. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some permanent answers. Okay, I don't want to feel good only when I take a pill. Come on. All right, I'm going to say this. Unless it's the gospel. I'm sorry. No, I don't want to feel good just because I'm taking a pill. I want to feel good when I get up in the morning, and why shouldn't we? Honestly, because really, when people say that, you know, that in a few years from now, it isn't going to matter anyway. In a few years from now, it isn't going to matter anyway. I think the hardest thing for us to do as Christians is to focus on some of the promises that God has for us. Some of the just basic principles that you learned when you first got saved, when you were in such turmoil, when you were in the place where, I don't know, maybe all of your relationships were falling apart. Maybe you were falling apart financially. Maybe you were sick and you weren't going to live. Do you hear me? You know, I don't know what brought you to the Lord. Maybe your wife left you. Maybe your husband left you. Whatever it might be, in your coming to the Lord, He's got everything that you need. No, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. He's got everything that you need. Everything. So, and I've said it already, but where is joy found? In the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. The place that I can get to by worshiping. And it doesn't matter what I sound like. It's okay. I don't know if God is tone deaf or if He just doesn't care. I think He just doesn't care. Worship will take you out of the world of worry and put you into the place of happiness and joy. All right? Happiness isn't bad. Happiness is just fleeting. All right? I get happy because my wife is nice to me or something like that. She's always nice to me anyway. She's watching right now, so I got No, she really is. But we end up worrying so much, okay? We end up spending so much of our time worrying. I think and I've told you this before too, but like 2% of the things that you worry about the most actually come to fruition, okay? I mean, there was no reason for you. I have worried about things that I should have just let go of. Because when it really came down to it, there was nothing to worry about. I have thought people were thinking things that they weren't thinking. Have you ever done that? But I think it's very easy for us to let go of the basic promises of God, the basic things that He has for us. You know, I've got eternal life. No, I've got eternal life. I'm never going to die. Amen? And you're the same way. That's a pretty great promise. I mean, I think if you would think about that, pretty much all of your problems would disappear. And I wasn't going to say this, but so maybe you're hurting financially. The Bible also gives a very quick answer to that problem. Given it shall be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen? Given it will be given unto you. You don't have enough, then give. I'm going to tell you how that works. I don't have any idea, but it does. But it does. I don't have any idea how so many of the promises of God work, but they do. If He says it, He'll do it. If He's done it, you'll never be the same. Like we were talking last week about when God lays His hands on you, you will never be the same. When God laid His hands on me for when I got saved, you know what? I was never the same, thank God. It changed me. How about you? Did it change you? When I was growing up in a mainline church, it maybe they didn't teach this. Maybe I didn't listen. I don't know. You know, but there was no emphasis placed on worship. There was no emphasis placed on relationship. It was just coming to church. Amen. It was just that was a good thing to do. And they were right. That is a good thing to do. You shouldn't forsake that. You know, I was thinking about this whole message on laying out of hands. You know, multimedia ministry is miraculous, but it doesn't take. We can reach people that we could never have reached, okay? But it doesn't take the place of being here. Amen? And you can't get hands laid on you when you're not here. But when you are here, there is so much hope. All right? You know when they say the hope for the world is the church? You know, it's the truth. There are promises that God makes that are just, this is the way it is. Okay? This is the way it is. And we accept those things by faith because He's God and we're not. Because He's got it figured out and we don't. He sees the end and we can't. I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty great that I've got a God like that living inside of me, steering me. I might not know those things, but He does. Okay? He does. How many of you today, if you were to be quite honest this morning, take the time? I know you take the time to pray and read your Bible, but do you take the time to worship? You know, I'd have you raise your hand, but I know a lot of you wouldn't. Why don't you raise your hand? Yeah, taking the time to worship is like... Yeah. You can't waste your time in worship. You can't. You can waste your time in other things, but you can't waste your time in worship. God has given us that vehicle, if you will, to get where we need to go, okay? There's a pastor one time that said this, and it was so profound. He said, if you aren't where you should be, get there, okay? You know what? It's like, if you aren't where you should be as far as getting what you need, get there. I can't get there for you. Your mom can't get there for you. Your spouse can't get there for you, but you can get there. You don't have to sound good. You don't even have to say the right words. Thank God, you know. You can read the Bible out loud and worship him that way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have so much trouble, and life is so hard, and it's so difficult, and Lord, I just help me, and Jesus, I don't know what to do, but you do know. You do know what to do. You really do. And I know the world is so busy and the world is so difficult that our minds get concentrated on other things and we don't think about it. And then somebody says something to you, like Serena is so good at that. She tells me, well, wow, how come you aren't worshiping through that? You're right. Or she'll bring up another promise, you know, it's like, you know what, you're right. But even though we know someone is right, when they tell us, are we going to do it? I know I should be worshiping, but are you going to do it? Because again, nobody can do it for you. Put on the garment of praise. It's like you put on Jesus, okay? You put that praise on like a garment. I mean, a garment, when I picture a garment, it's not just like putting a shirt on. It's like a robe or something. You know, it just covers you. We need to put on the garment of praise. Because the spirit of heaviness is something that the enemy puts on us. Right? I wish I could tell you the times that I have thought people are doing something on purpose and they weren't. But I was convinced. I was convinced that they were mad at me, that they were doing things that they shouldn't, and I would worry, and I would just, you know, it'd be terrible. The enemy does that. There's this rule of thumb, okay? When something doesn't make any sense in your life, it's the enemy. All right? It's the devil. That's the way it is. It doesn't make any sense. You don't know why you're in the position you're in. It's the devil. The devil can take your words and twist them. The devil can take other people's words and twist them to you. And then you begin to worry. And you're no longer, you know, performing or doing the scripture, be anxious for nothing. All right? But in all things, with thanksgiving and praise. All right? Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's days I need my heart and my mind kept. Probably more days than I want to imagine, you know, or even admit is what I should say. But again, we know those things are there. We've either read them, I hope we have. We've either read them and highlighted them in our Bible, put a note beside it, you know, and then we go to the next page and we never revisit it again until the next year when we're going through our Bible. Which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad, a bad thing. Sometimes I wonder, though, what if you took a year and just read the same book over and over and over again instead of reading all 66 books through once? What do you think you would get out of that one book? Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good. But you'd be bored. Okay, I get it. How many of you wish that you would, or pray that you would know what to do at the beginning of a crisis instead of realizing what to do at the end of that crisis? Yeah. I don't know what your crisis is, but I know this much. You should praise at the beginning of your crisis. You should praise in the middle of your crisis, and then you really got a reason to praise at the end of your crisis. Amen. Right. But the key thing, the common thing to all of this is you praise your way through all of it.
Yes.
In all things, say all things.
All things.
through prayer and supplication you make known to God. Hey, God, you know what Josh said about me? Do yourself a favor, okay? Most times when people say things, they aren't saying them to hurt you. So don't make them hurt you by thinking they said it for that reason. Are you with me? There's this thing called, you know, now I can't remember, giving them the benefit of the doubt, all right? I mean, how good would it be if you could live your life giving everyone the benefit of the doubt? And how much worry would that take out of your mind? And how much more room would there be for worship when the worry is taken out? Because worship is warfare against the enemy. I always thought, you know, and I try to do this, when the enemy comes at me, I worship. And why do I worship? Because I don't think he likes that, so maybe next time he won't come at me. Amen? And I just really feel like that's one of the things that God is saying to us today, is to remember my promises, remember to worship. Remember that worship is warfare. You're in a very real fight, but I've given you very real weapons. All right? Because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Sorry, I learned it in King James. So would you take the challenge this week to make worship more of a part of your life? Take the challenge this morning that when things come at you, because they will, amen? Things will come at you. You know, that might be a negative confession, but that's the truth. Things are going to come at you. But how many would take the challenge that when things come at you, you would worship? Amen? Can you do that? When your husband says something that he shouldn't say, give him the benefit of the doubt. And worship. When your wife says something she shouldn't say, give her the benefit of the doubt. Okay? And worship. Worship has a way of taking your mind off your problems. And I don't know about you, but when my mind is on problems, it's not good. So I would rather have my mind taken off from those problems and put on the hope that I have in the promises of God, in the faithfulness of God. You know, I love that song, faithful forever he will be, man. Faithful. Amen. He is faithful. When I'm not faithful, he's faithful. When I blow it, he doesn't blow it. When I'm not even in the right place, he's still faithful. And no matter what, we can hear 1,000 messages on the agape love of God. You know, and how that is so wonderful, and it is, and how it's a chosen love, and it is that too, and how it's an immeasurable love, a God love, you know. But no matter how many sermons or sermonettes that we hear on that subject, we don't quite understand that subject, because everybody in our life has like a limit to where if they go past this line, I don't know about loving them anymore. God doesn't have that line. It's so hard to understand, but he doesn't have that line. When you think you've stepped so far away from, he doesn't have that line. When you think he is so sick of you falling to the same thing again, he still loves you. That's not an excuse to sin. That's just the way it is. He still loves you. Anyway, I'll get back to where I was, okay? How many of you would take the challenge to worship? You know, let's raise your hand. Take the challenge to worship the next time something comes at you. Just try it. Take the challenge to if you don't have a prayer time, to maybe set a couple minutes aside every morning or evening and sing a song, worship out of the Bible, do whatever, read your Bible, pray. How much better would life be if in the morning, every morning when you got up, you went to your closet, right, and you put on that garment of praise, man.
Amen.
You know, and you were just going to worship him. I'll tell you, the voice of the enemy gets really quiet when you're worshiping, okay? It's the voice of the Lord that you begin to hear when you're worshiping because you're in his presence. Well, how do I know that I'm in his presence? Because he's promised that if we praise him, we attract him. Are you with me? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I think that there's this part where we just become more aware of his presence because he's always there. But I know that I need a little bit of a push to be more aware of his presence in my life. For some, that'll keep you from doing some things, and that's good. For others, it'll help you understand that he is a loving father and that his promises are true. And he will give you absolutely everything that he has promised to you. He is no respecter of persons. If he's given it to Jeff, he'll give it to Jack. Okay? You know, if he's given it to Neela, you know, man, he'll give it to you. Here I go, Margaret. Do you understand? I hope you understand. Because I think that's what God is saying today. Next week we'll talk about the laying on of hands. About the laying on of hands in Jesus' ministry, and then the laying on of hands for you and I. I love that we started out the service through the laying on of hands, because I believe we have a promise in the Word that through the laying on of hands, we are going to transfer things. Amen? It is so important that Paul even gives us a warning. He says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Don't give him your approval. Don't try to get him. Anyway, it's a whole thing. You have to know the guy. It's like writing a reference for somebody you don't know. You know, because when you lay hands on somebody, and when you laid hands on somebody in the biblical times, you approved of them. You put your seal of approval on them. But it's so important, and things so truly happen that Paul says, don't do that quickly. Don't do that without thinking about it. So, if you thought you were going to hear about laying on of hands, you almost did. But you will next week, I think. Why don't you stand with me, please, just a minute. God inhabits the praises of his people. When we worship on a Sunday morning, God, bam, he inhabits it. That's the way it is. When you worship him on Monday in your living room, bam, God inhabits it. And you stepped into the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I challenge you, like I said, to do that this week, because I think you'll see your days change. I'm not saying the enemy won't attack you. In fact, the enemy may try even harder, but then you worship harder. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on the promises. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song together.